I'm speaking today with Dwight Boykins, who's a candidate for City Council District D. Dwight, thank you for talking to me today. First question I'd like to ask, why are you running for this office?
Well, thank you for having me. I believe qualifications are very important, and I've prepared myself to lead this area based on my qualifications. First, I was born and raised in the district. Played Little League Baseball at then Yellowstone Park and Zilas Scales Park. I've seen infrastructure come and go in this district and community that I was raised in. My mother raised six boys in the area, and we've become a pillar in the community in terms of community involvement and giving back to our district. In terms of experience, I think receiving my degree at Texas Southern University in business has given me basic principles to understand spreadsheets, balance sheets, and a budget. I had an opportunity to serve in a government affairs capacity at Texas Southern for about 7-8 years, which enabled me an opportunity to work in Austin with both political parties, Democrats and Republicans, to obtain funding for Texas Southern above its base appropriation back in the 77th legislative session. That process allowed me an opportunity to engage more into the appropriations process and policy process that I think it will add value to City Council. And then I had an opportunity to go and work on the federal level, where I've worked with both sides of the Congress to bring federal resources back to Houston. For an example, with the St. Joseph Hospital to help with some of the general acute care services, as well as Houston Community College with their workforce training, which leads, and we'll talk about it later, into my Second Chance program for work training and construction type projects. I think my experience in community development, working to give with a lot of nonprofits, giving scholarship opportunities back to kids, because I was one of those who needed that opportunity and that encouragement to go to college, it's been very rewarding to me as well, Charles. And my wife and I have just been committed to helping our community. And last but not least, I think District D is growing. The diversity of the district is so important. When I decided to get in this race in June of last year, I rode the entire district with civic club leaders. And I realized we have five major components of the district, and all of them have different needs. And as a council member for District D, my job is not to compare one to the other. It's to maximize each one to its potential. For an example, in the South Park area, coming out of Martin Luther King Boulevard, I think it's important that we deal strictly with infrastructure, economic development, bringing in a major grocery store, as well as commercial banks. The nearest bank is off of Reed Road. Out in the South Belt area, out Fuquay and Gulf Meadows area, street flooding is an issue out there. We need to make certain that we look at, and crime, coordinating police efforts to make it with the county, to make certain that we, and the Constable Diaz out that way, that we can try to bring some aggressive approaches to reducing crime in that area. In the Third Ward area, we have a management district as well as a TERS, in addition to the city's general budget, that can help bring resources to eliminate some of the crime as well. But because we have those different funding tools outside the other areas that may not have those boundaries to be covered, we have to look at it a little bit different because we do have additional revenue to address crime. Economic development is very important. I think we need to make certain, you know, you hear the words food desert in District D a lot. I think we do need to make certain that we address those issues with brand name retail stores in our community. I think my experience working in the past with some of the HEBs on other projects, and I'm not just singling out them, and I have met with the president of Kroger about bringing in a brand name signature retail store in our community. And last but not least, in the Sunnyside area. When I rode that area, I realized flooding and drainage and abandoned houses and weeded lots are very important. We have Reverend Nash built some homes during the previous administration, but because of limited funding, we didn't have an opportunity to address some of the infrastructure from a street and drainage and open ditch concept. And I think my experience serving on the mayor, Anise Parker, appointed me to serve as a commissioner on Rebuild Houston, the largest infrastructure project this city will ever have. And I clearly understand how important that is, and understanding that you have to have somebody at the table that understands the budget, infrastructure budget, because this is a new program. And if District D doesn't have someone who can understand what's coming before them, when you get talking about pavement condition, why your streets should be first based on the condition or the infrastructure, the aging of that infrastructure, and know what you're looking at, you'll be left behind. So I think, in short, that qualifies me to be prepared to lead.
I'm glad you brought up Rebuild Houston, since that,
yeah,
since that is the primary vehicle now for street improvements and drainage improvements in Houston. Give me your perspective as someone who was on the board of it. How is it going, and where do you see opportunities to make it better and to improve things in District D?
Well, without it, we would be in the same position we were in the past. Whenever we had CIP meetings, Charles, and they would, a citizen would walk up and talk about street and flooding and potholes in their communities, the panel and the council member and the mayor would always say, absolutely, we agree with you, but there's no money. So you just have to basically take a ticket and wait until we come around to you. What Rebuild Houston is doing, whether you're for it or against it, I'm just a volunteer. I'm not an engineer. I was a volunteer like the other 10 board members who asked to serve, but I'm glad I took advantage of it. What Rebuild Houston will do is allow us to have a dedicated pay-as-you-go source of money to address those issues. If we didn't have that, again, we'll go back to the old system where it says, once we get your street on the list, go through the process, we'll come in and reconstruct the street. What we're doing is that once we kick off the construction phase after design is done, for the next 23 years, we're going to take the worst streets in the city first to the best street last, to do completely street rehab, curb and gutters, sidewalks. And I'm excited about that. And I know that's where my experience comes in. One of the things I want to do, and this is not being premature, but it's important to me, given opportunity to serve as the next council member, I know which two committees I want to serve on. Transportation infrastructure, budget and finance. I have to be on those two because then you have an understanding of the money. But secondly, the transportation infrastructure ties right back into partnering with the Rebuild Houston approach to redo these streets.
Okay. Now, you have run for council before.
Yeah.
I think only in at-large races,
yes,
previously.
Sir.
What would you say you learned from the experience of your previous races?
That I wouldn't ever run again. And citywide is different. But when this opportunity came up and have an opportunity to serve on Rebuild Houston, and I saw that we have an opportunity to deal with some of these streets on Martin Luther King, on McCowell Road, in South Union, and I saw it in front of me, I said, oh, absolutely. I want to be a part of implementing this to get these streets done. And but what I've learned is that, you have to hit the ground. At large is a little bit different. In a district, hit the ground walking, knocking on doors, asking voters for their support, but more importantly, asking them what do they need. And we've done real well with that. Excited about it. So, you don't take anything for granted. But again, it's hard to kind of dictate and control your votes from a perspective of identifying them in an at-large perspective, unless you have, the Ben Hall and Denise Parker's money, and I don't.
Okay. Now, you do talk about wanting to serve on the Finance Committee. What is your view of the city's financial picture right now?
Well, we have a $4.2 billion budget. The projections, and I'm not going to get too in detail with the pension, but it's being projected that, we may be dealing with some uphill battles going forward with the pension payments, the committed pension payments that happened under the previous administration is coming up. And I think it just it's going to take some creative approaches and thoughts to addressing this issue. And I have a couple. I'm not going to lay them out, this early out. If I'm given an opportunity to serve, I'm going to lay them out. And I think they're aggressive and they'll be able to help with the city's financial position. I do know that, if we keep at the rate the economy is good in the city, businesses are moving here. As the population increase, more revenue comes into the city's general coffer. I do know that, if we continue at the rate we're going, we may be able to escape whatever fiscal cliff coming ahead based on the maturity of those, the pension. You know, from this seat here in the third row and not being on council, I've looked at the budget, I've studied it, but understanding what some of the future moves are, I'm not in a position now to be more specific, but I do know we need to have an eye open for what's ahead in terms of maturity on that pension money, which is going to have a drastic impact on the city's general fund.
Well, as you know, Mayor Parker has been trying to get the legislature to pass a bill that would require the firefighters' pension fund to be subject to meet and confer requirements as the other two funds are. She's not had any luck getting that going, and the firefighters oppose it. Do you support the effort to get a bill passed to subject the firefighters' pension to meet and confer requirements?
Well, first of all, you have to look at both sides, and I'm honored that the firefighters has endorsed my campaign. You have to look at both sides and look at the pros and cons, and then meet with the firefighters, the union, presenting what information you receive, and then you start from there.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about quality of life. As you know, in Houston Council recently passed some changes to Chapter 42, the density and development codes, designed to allow greater density in Houston. First of all, let me just ask, what was your opinion of the changes made to Chapter 42, and do you see places where you think more changes need to be made?
Well, I think from a civic club perspective and a grassroots perspective, what it brought to my attention as I was traveling around talking to civic groups was the importance of having their deed restrictions in place. It's kind of like baseball. You can't get to third base if you don't get to first base. And if we have the deed, if you don't have your deed restrictions in place, it's kind of hard. Even though we had a window, there's a window time frame to get them brought up. But it's kind of hard to fight a situation that you have no bullets to throw back. So most of the civic clubs in my district do have deed restrictions. Some of them just need some modifications on them. And I think I have no problem with development. Let's be clear about that. But I think we need to be real clear about how we go in the communities that's been in place for years. For an example, like where I live, and put in a development that does not match the community. And then when you get talking about trying to displace poor people, you know, I got a problem with that. I'm definitely sensitive to that. But I think from a builder's perspective, from an economic development perspective, Chapter 42 is a great tool. I have no problem with it. But I think communicating about the pros and cons is important.
Well, you kind of anticipated my follow-up question, which is, you know, we have seen around Houston a number of situations where developers and neighborhoods have been in conflict over proposed developments, usually high-rise, multi-unit type developments. And I think we are going to see in some older neighborhoods where property values aren't very high, some situations where there's going to be gentrification coming in. You know, developers are going to say, you know, that's relatively inexpensive land, it's close to downtown, I'm going to start buying stuff up. How do you balance, you know, what if anything can be done to better balance, you know, the desire and need of developers to build and the desire of neighborhoods to, you know, protect what they've got?
Good leadership. And I think that's important, and that's why I'm running. That's part of the reason why I'm running. You have to have people who understand both sides of it and not take the fight to the streets every time it's an issue that you disagree with. You sit down and have an intelligent conversation and just be straight up about the pros and cons to the community. One of the things I would like to see happen outside of the development charge from a permitting perspective, and within the first 30 days, I'm approach the mayor's office with it, and that is to set up a system that during the permitting, regardless of what the permit is for, when someone submit an application to pull a permit to do any development, any construction, anything in my community, whether it's a halfway house or whatever, even though it's state driven, that somehow my telephone is vibrating. I'm being notified. Each district council member is notified. Because what happens then, if you want to come open up a newspaper business in my district, and it's in the middle of a non-deed restricted area, I want you to come and talk to those civic group leaders. And let's talk about what your vision is for the community. Because we know, but once that permit is pulled and signed is done, it's nothing else a community can do at that point. So I think to be more proactive, I'm going to put that in place, a proposal or a request to the mayor to allow every time someone drop off that application and is stamp dated with a time and date, that council, district council member is notified. So that person then is responsible for contacting that person who's seeking a permit to ask to get the information off the application, what they're putting in, and ask them what they'd like to come meet with the civic group. Because that's one way until you, we don't have zoning. I mean, until you get that under, you know, under control.
Okay. Houston has gained a reputation recently for being a very good food city.
Mm-hmm.
Our restaurants have a lot of attention, and food trucks have been at the forefront of this as well. As you know, a while ago, food truck organizations went to council to request changes to ordinances that would allow them to operate downtown, which they're currently not allowed to do. That has been deferred. I'm sure it's going to come up again. Do you support the efforts of the food truck vendors to change city ordinances to allow them to operate downtown?
No.
Okay. All right.
And the reason being, Charles, it's unfair to Charles' hamburger joint or Dwight's hamburger joint to put in millions of dollars of infrastructure, and all of a sudden they come in and just can become so mobile to go in and out and take away the business. That's not right. No.
Okay. All right.
Not saying there's not a compromise somewhere, but no.
All right.
To your answer.
Fair enough.
No question.
In 2001, there was a charter amendment passed in the city of Houston that forbade it from offering domestic partner benefits to its employees. As you know, times have changed. The Supreme Court invalidated parts of the Defense of Marriage Act. That's a federal thing, but we have seen in Texas a number of cities and some school districts are now offering domestic partner benefits to their employees. If there is an effort to overturn that charter amendment and allow the city to offer such benefits to its employees, is that something you would support?
I have no problem with that.
Okay. The question I'm asking everybody, who are you supporting for mayor?
Dwight Boykins. District D. I'm in nobody's race, man. I have two good friends running for mayor. The current mayor and Ben Hall, and I wish them both the best. I just want a mayor who understands that we have a major infrastructure drainage problem in this city, and that I'm focused on that, and I look forward to work with them to address that in District D, in particular the entire city, but more importantly, my district.
One thing that has come up in the District D campaign, I'm sure you're aware of it, is that there's been some emails circulating about you having made contributions to Republican candidates in the past. I just wanted to know if you wanted to say anything about that.
Yeah, it's interesting when people feel like they have nothing else to grab, they have nothing to run on or no issues that's important to them. They try to throw a dart at someone they feel that's picking up some steam. First of all, I'm a Democrat. Always been a Democrat all 50 years of my life. Well, as long as I've been voting. But I'm very good at working with both sides of the aisle. Very good at it. And been very effective. And there's no way you can have accomplishments to put TSU on the map when the Office of Civil Rights was... we were fighting against the Office of Civil Rights to get a federal mandate to give us monies for TSU and Prairie View, and we end up getting $144 million. I care at that. Representative Garnet Coleman and Senator Ellis will tell you, myself along with the President, Priscilla Slate, we did that working with Democrats and Republicans. When Texas Southern University needed $300,000 for the Mickey Leland Barbara Jordan Archives, former council member Mayor Pro Tem Judon Boney threw darts on the wall 2 years in a row. He came to me. I did not charge him a fee. He came to me and asked me, would I help him? We got Republican, Senator, Democratic House member, and we got it passed. Ask Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee that question. You have to have that experience, I think, to be effective. City Council is nonpartisan, and we have Democrat and Republican members on the council, and it's important that you know how to work with both of them. The reason they're saying that, what they forget to say, they don't forget, they don't want you to know. My campaign, if you pulled a report, we gave Republicans since 07 about $11,000. We gave Democrats close to 60, but they don't want to tell you that. So we know who did it. We don't play dirty politics, Charles. We're going to keep running a clean campaign. run on the issues. We have programs for seniors. We have programs for folk in our community to put them back to work through our Second Chance program. So we're excited. And nobody in this race understands infrastructure, fixing potholes the way Dwight does. I'm not getting into the mud with them. I have a lovely wife of 25 years, and we have a reputation of being some good Christian faith folk and just treat people right.
All right. Well, you've kind of already covered this, but I always end my interviews by asking, when you're in a big field here, 11 candidates, where people go to vote on November 5th, why should they choose Dwight Boykins to be the next council member in District D and not one of the other candidates?
Thank you, Charles. And I'm not running against anyone. I'm running to represent the community. Experience, leadership, new vision for this district. Product of it, this district raised me. I was born and raised here at Jefferson Davis Hospital and graduated from Texas Southern University. A single parent who told us, believe in God and always tell the truth and do what's right. You can be as successful as you want. And I'm here to bring a report card back to the people who raised me and say, I've done what you told me and God has been a blessing to me. I'm running because I can hit the ground running. I know which committees I need for my community to serve on. I know what type of programs we need to address seniors' needs. We have a SMRF program that will help seniors with minor home repairs free of cost to seniors within District D. I've gotten a commitment from Home Depot and Lowe's to participate in this. We have a jobs program that will tackle this infrastructure, Charles, and give people a chance to work who's looking for work, and understanding that Rebuild Houston construction projects are coming up, and to be able to make certain that my projects are in line. I'm not going to sit back and wait on Public Works or anyone else to tell me what's important for my district because I don't know where the bathroom is. I'm going to be presenting my streets and the condition of each street to Public Works because I understand the process. And I think that's important. So all that being said, I'm not running against anyone, but I don't think anybody else in this race can compare to my background.
All right, Dwight Boykins, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.